Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because with us we have Dennis Kane. Dennis is an RN and clinical hypnotherapist specializing in cancer patients and their loved ones. At the age of 12, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. He had surgery, and that night he began to hemorrhage. After being rushed back into surgery the next morning, he died on the table. He spent the next several years in treatment. He was never allowed to play like other kids, so eventually he turned inward and began living in his mind. He would imagine himself well and playing sports with other kids. Eventually, he got very good at this and actually was able to feel stronger and reduce various medications he was taking. He later learned that what he was doing was called visualization and guided imagery. Now, as a hypnotherapist, he has created a program for cancer patients using techniques that have worked for him and many other patients. Dennis, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure, Vicki.
Well, we talked a little bit about how you were touched by cancer in a big way, but please elaborate a little bit on that, what that meant for you, what this experience has led you to.
Oh, sure. Obviously, it was a life changer. There wasn't that much life before. I was only 12. But I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer that had metastasized. I was given a year to live. I had surgery. That night, I began to hemorrhage. And they did not have intensive care yet at the hospital that I was at. So they wheeled my bed right in front of the nurse's station. That way they can... That was their version of an intensive care. I overheard the doctors talking. This is how I found out I had cancer, because I didn't know. I overheard the doctors talking by my bedside, and they were saying, they said, you know, it was cancer and that I wasn't really expected to live out the night. So next morning they wheeled me into surgery. I died on the table. My heart stopped on the table, obviously. I didn't die. My heart stopped. They brought me back, and for the next several years, I was in treatments of one sort or another. I was not allowed to do the things the other kids could. I simply couldn't. I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the physical capacity to do things. They didn't even want me to go to school, but I wanted to be like the other kids. And homeschooling wasn't the thing it is now. So I went to school, and I remember I couldn't play ball. I couldn't, before my surgery, I used to like to wrestle and fight. I couldn't do that anymore. And so I would just come home, and I was very weak, and my body was going through a lot of changes, and I was on a lot of medications. So I went inward, and I would visualize myself as feeling strong and being strong and moving around with strength. And I had a really poor appetite because of the medications, and I would visualize myself as being hungry and eating and enjoying whatever I imagined was my favorite food at the time. And after a while, this had some effect. I was, in fact, somewhat stronger. I was, in fact, putting on weight. I was able to reduce my pain. I still was on medications. This is not a cure-all, but I was able to make some difference. And just knowing that I had some control took me from the position of being a victim and just being a patient and taking whatever they would do for me to being an active participant in my care. And it made all the difference in the world emotionally, and it made a big difference physically as well. As I got older and I became a registered nurse and I got involved with pain management and learning different things, I learned that what I was doing was guided imagery, was visualizations. I was doing autogenics, and I learned more and more about these techniques. And then eventually I got certified as a clinical hypnotherapist. And I've integrated all of these modalities into a program that I've created for patients that have cancer. And the goal of the program is moving from that position of being a victim and being in a place of fear to moving into a place of being an active participant, to empowerment and being an active participant in your care. It's not a cure, and it's not a substitute. I don't tell people to stop their medications or stop their treatment. No, this is in addition to working with your physician, to going through treatment, to taking your medications. You know, I would never tell anyone not to do that. First of all, legally, as a registered nurse, I couldn't do that. But what I've noticed is people using these techniques can reduce the amount of medications. If you use some techniques for nausea, for instance, and you can reduce the amount of medication you take for the nausea and for pain management. There are a lot of different techniques for pain control. And if you learn them and use them, one can reduce the amount of pain medications they take. And therefore, their mental clarity is not as compromised. You know, opiates are great to reduce pain, but they do compromise our consciousness, our mental status. And a lot of people are not wanting to experience that or not wanting to experience it to the degree that heavy doses of opioids will create. So that's what I've created. That's what we do. And what I'm doing now is and I want to put on my website, I want to give to people because I think it's important and I want people to have it. I'm calling it my 10 cancer hacks, and because I've learned that hacks is a good word. So I'm creating these 10 cancer hacks, which are basically little things people can do about different symptoms. It's not as comprehensive, obviously, as the program that I created, but they're just quick little hacks that people can use for pain, for nausea, for fear, anxiety, things like that, just bing, bing, bing. So I'm working on that now, and I want to put it up on my website. And that's kind of what it is. I get a tremendous satisfaction from seeing people move from that sense of fear and victimhood through the steps to, like I said, becoming an active participant in their cancer treatment. Cancer isn't always a death sentence, you know, and people need to get that. So that's what I'm up to now.
And that is so powerful. So if you were to express the most important thing you learned from your experience and what you share with other cancer patients, what would that be?
That's a good question. The most important thing that I've experienced looking back on it was that I had to embrace health. I had to embrace normalcy and own it. And it's very easy to visualize myself because I was constantly going to one doctor or another doctor or another doctor and getting different kinds of treatments. And at one point they thought I had leukemia. And this was the early 60s, so they didn't really have the sophistication that they have now. So that was it. It was like aggressively embracing being healthy and aggressively embracing being well. I think that's the most powerful thing that I learned because, you know, every thought and feeling that we have has a physiological response in our bodies. And so if I'm seeing myself and acting as if I'm well and healthy, I think that, and it wasn't easy, you know, I mean, I went through a lot of stuff, but I think that was the most powerful message that I got out of being ill. It was just owning my own health.
Oh, I love that. That's so empowering.
Yeah, it is empowering, actually. It is empowering because it's too easy to feel, you know, just that patient role And you see it, you know, as a registered nurse, I've seen it a lot of times with patients. And most of the time, it's okay. You go in the hospital, you go to the doctor, they do the surgery, or they give you a pill, and you go home, and you're okay. So that's fine. But when you have a disease like cancer, or you have a disease that's going to, you know, be with you for a long, long time, you really have to own your own health. You really have to own your wellness. And to the degree that you can act as if you are healthy and act as if you're well and not let the disease own you and control you, that becomes very important and contributes, I believe, contributes to wellness and well-being.
Mm, so beautiful. So
how
has the experience changed your life? Because I can't help but think it had a big impact on you from the standpoint of the nature of which your career has developed. But tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, when I was younger, before I had the diagnosis, I was a lot more active. I used to like to swim, and like I said, I used to, I wasn't a bully, but I used to like to fight, and I had great imagination. And growing up in L.A., I wanted to be an actor. And then when I was sick and diagnosed, I couldn't swim, and I certainly couldn't fight. A good breeze would knock me over. I was constantly, like I said, going to doctors and that sort of thing. So my role models became doctors and nurses and people like that. And I knew I wasn't going to go into the service. I grew up with that generation where my dad was in World War II, and everybody I talked to, their dad was in the war. And I was going to be a soldier, but I couldn't do that. I wasn't allowed to do that. So the role models that I had, the people that I kept seeing all the time over and over again, tended to be doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals. And it just seemed quite natural when I decided to settle down and have a career to just move into that. I was a EMT for a while. I worked at an ambulance. And I saw what nurses actually did in the emergency rooms and things like that. So I thought, well, I'll do that for a while and see what happens. And so that's how I became a registered nurse. I enjoyed working with people. I enjoyed helping people. Enjoyed doing procedures on people and learning about physiology and anatomy and chemistry, all those really hard sciences I enjoyed. So that's how I became a registered nurse. The hypnosis came later when I was working in a pain unit, and I was working with patients. I was actually doing biofeedback, and I was just using the machines, the instruments, to measure what I was doing with the patients. And what I was doing, I realized, was actually hypnosis. And that I realized one of the patients told me that's what I was doing. So I studied with a doctor to become certified. This is a long time ago, in clinical hypnosis, and actually learned some of the techniques formally that I was doing informally. So that's how I got into using hypnosis and the autogenics and the guided imagery and the visualizations and transformations of pain, those kinds of things I was doing already. So what I've noticed now and what I noticed then was that when you couple these things with hypnosis, they're more powerful. Because as you know, when you can bypass the conscious mind and go right to the subconscious mind, it's extremely powerful. Because the subconscious mind perceives everything as real. It doesn't filter what's good, what's bad, what's real, what's not real. So when I used hypnosis with guided imagery, and I used hypnosis with autogenics, which is self-talk, transforming pain, that kind of thing, when I use hypnosis with that, it's a lot more powerful and quicker. It's faster to learn it. So the package is what I bring to the experience now. I'm a hypnotherapist, so yes, I work with patients that are addicts, and I work with patients that smoke, and I work with people like that, but my passion is working with patients whose lives have been touched with cancer and their families, because it's a group experience, if you will. Their caregivers, it touches everybody. I know what it did to my family when I was diagnosed with cancer. Not just my mom and dad, but my brother and sister, who suddenly got shuffled off to the side because I was not expected to live, that I was dying. So I was the center of the family, where there was a lot of jealousy and there was a lot of things like that. The family dynamic actually changed. I can see that now. I didn't see it then when I was 12, because I was 12. So cancer, or any kind of a diagnosis like that, actually impacts not just the patient, but the entire family. The entire dynamic changes. What I've seen in my experience as a nurse is that suddenly the person who's the nurturing caregiver, usually the mother, the wife, the role changes, and you know, somebody else has to step in and be the nurturing caregiver because they're now, you know, suffering from a disease. And to the degree that I can help them, that I can work with them, they can, you know, assume some of those roles again. But I'm not going to tell you that what I have and who I am is a magic wand. It takes effort, it takes work, and it's a program that I've created. But that's what I've seen, is that it impacts the entire family.
Yeah, incredible. Really incredible. And you were in such a great position to help others because you have experienced all those dynamics to the depth level that you possibly can. So if you were to share some tips, and you already really have shared some super valuable information to help others, but to provide hope to others that maybe are just swimming in hopelessness now, what would those tips be?
Well, once again, you go back to my history, personally, everybody thought, the doctors, the experts, that I was going to die. It was a death sentence. And, just, you know, prepare yourself, prepare him, everybody. This is what's going to happen. He probably won't. Well, as you can see, here I am talking to you. This is like 50 years later. I didn't die. And so what I would share with people and what I want people to hold on to is that cancer is not necessarily a death sentence. You know, it's a horrible disease, and there are people walking around, not just me, there are a lot of people walking around that have conquered cancer. And I think when I speak to people that have conquered cancer, the similarity is that they focused on being healthy, and they didn't let cancer own them and control them. And to the degree that they could, they were active participants in their health care, and they embraced being healthy. Some people change their diet. Some people do whatever exercises they can do. Meditation, you know, I have a bias with hypnosis, but they're not mutually exclusive. There are people that meditate and do hypnosis, guided imagery, hypnosis, visualizations. So those kinds of things are empowering. So my advice is, don't let cancer own you. If you've tragically been diagnosed with cancer, embrace your health and, you know, own your wellness and hold on to it and focus on it and be present in it. The reality is we're all going to live until we die. And nobody knows when that's going to occur. So for me, it was owning my own wellness. And I wasn't really conscious that that's what I was doing. I was 12 years old. I was just focusing on, you know, being well and being healthy and what I would do. And I find that people that have conquered cancer do the same thing to a large extent. And you still go through treatment. It's not a magic wand. I keep wanting to emphasize that because I'm alternative therapies. It's not an alternative. It's in addition to whatever else that you're doing. It's just personally empowering, and you become a warrior in the fight against cancer. Does that answer that question?
Yes, it does. So beautifully. Dennis, thank you so much for being with us today. If those listening would like to contact you for more information or tap into more of your knowledge, is there a place on the web they can do that?
I have a website. It's DennisKaneHypnosis.com, and they can contact me that way. And email there would be info at DennisKane, at hypnosis.com. And with questions and things like that, people can contact me that way.
Fabulous. And I want to let everyone know that Dennis spells his last name Kane with a K, not a C. So it's
right.
Dennis, K-A-N-E. So,
right.
Dennis, thank you so much for being with us. And I know those that, you know, it can benefit will definitely be in touch with you and, again, tap into more of your wisdom and your knowledge. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Vicki. It's been a pleasure.
And for those of you who would like to learn more about Expert Insights Publishing, our best-selling books, award-winning magazines, and global communities and broadcasts, you will find us at getei.com. That's G-E-T-E-I.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.